Aloha, welcome to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. Each week we talk about health and fitness, but nothing replaces a visit to your own primary care provider. Today we're going to talk about an issue that affects a lot of people throughout their lives and often is either misunderstood or maybe not given as much time for the grieving process as people may need. This came from a discussion that I had after hearing a show on Republic Radio, actually, about the idea of grieving from the loss of pets. And today I have Claire Santos. She's been a frequent guest on our show. She's a nurse with many years of experience and unfortunately just lost a pet herself. This is not the first time. And once we started talking, we realized that there's a lot of different nuances to the grieving of people, the loss of a loved one, whether it be a child, a parent, an auntie, an uncle, a grandmother, a grandfather, etc. And that sometimes we overlook the grieving process that also takes place when we lose another important member of the family, and that is someone in our pet family. So today we're going to talk a little bit about some of the processes of grieving and some of the things that Claire has discovered from firsthand, what works to help with the loss of a loved one when in fact they may not be a human loved one, but there's still an amount of love that is lost when you lose that member of your family. So, Claire, thank you for joining me today on The Body Show.
Aloha, Dr. Kozak, and thank you for having me again.
Let's talk a little bit about pets. They are loved ones. I've had cats in my life. We had a family dog, and, you know, there have been great attributes that I think each different type of pet brings to people. All different types. And, you know, I enjoy cats, I enjoy dogs, some people enjoy turtles, some people enjoy rabbits, and there's all different sorts of interactions that we have with pets. You've had quite a few pets in your life. Are you generally, have you had a lot of dogs? Have you had other animals? What's been your pet history?
Well, my parents were farmers, so we had all kinds of pets, from dogs and cats to turkeys and lambs. And also, having farmer parents, we understood cycles of life and that we die, pets die, and we think we accept that. As you get older and have different pets, you realize what an intimate relationship you have with your beloved pet.
Well, that's very true because, you know, I certainly know that when you have a pet, it's very unconditional. I mean, it truly, they accept you no matter what you look like when you roll out of bed. And with cats, if you don't feed them on time, you know, you do get some punishment there. But it's certainly something that there is that very close relationship. And it can be wordless. I think it also reaches people on a different level because although some pets may understand the English language or various languages, there's also a sense of just a deeper connection.
Absolutely. In fact, my previous dog was deaf. So we communicated through signs and hugs and treats and love. My dog that I just lost the other day was a hearing dog, and we communicated through words. I cross-train all my dogs to understand signs as well, because as they age, they often lose their hearing. So it's best to have two ways to communicate with your little partner.
Well, and humans lose hearing, too. I mean, there is certainly an analogy that we can make about some of the functions that are lost from various different levels. How many pets over the years have you had personally?
Oh, it has to be dozens. Dogs, cats, birds, fish, farm animals. It's not countable. But now in condo life in Hawaii, I have had one dog at a time, and it's a completely different relationship. You're in this, you know, 800 square foot space with your little animal, and it's following you around all over the place. It's an intimate relationship. They follow you everywhere. They watch your hand signals, your facial expressions. They run to the kitchen whenever you open the fridge. It's an ongoing relationship. You're in the bathroom, they're in the bathroom. You're in the shower, they're waiting outside. So when you suddenly lose that pet, it is such an acutely painful train wreck of a feeling. The pain is just unreal and should be recognized and supported in the community as far as I'm concerned.
So now when you talk about the experience you've had with pets, they're always there. I think there was a huge increase in pet adoption during the pandemic. People often felt like if I'm home alone, you know, I'm feeling lonely, I want to have some other type of being there. So we did see that a lot of people adopted pets during that time when everybody had a stay-at-home order, and they really started to enjoy more the aspect of having a pet.
They did. And when they all had to go back to work, the Humane Society, et cetera, started to fill up again because who was home to take care of this dog? My last dog, Charlie, was a stray that I got during the pandemic. So he was my pandemic dog. People are abandoning them if you follow certain Facebook pages. So these are supposed to be part of the family and not something you discard readily. But that's a whole nother issue. Losing the pet by any means is just very painful.
Well, and I think, you know, any time that you have a loss of this constant presence in your life, with the loss of parents or siblings or children, there's a general sense in society that there's a grieving process that people go through. And that seems to have an indefinite timeline, if ever. And there's this acknowledgement that such a loss is so significant. Do you feel like we don't do that as much when we're talking about the loss of pets?
We definitely do not acknowledge and support the loss of a pet, and we tend to hide it and hide our sorrow. In fact, when I lost my last dog, Coco, 2 weeks later, I started a new job, and you can well imagine, after 13 and a half years with this dog, through all her health crises and surgeries and everything, to lose her, starting a brand new job in a brand new specialty area 2 weeks later was a disaster. I did not have my act together. I got fired. There's just, you can't tell people, well, I'm not in a good mood because my dog died. People don't get it. We need to bring that to the forefront so people do get it and do acknowledge your grieving, so that your employer supports a bereavement couple of days or however long they can spare you to get through it, because it's acutely painful. When I recently lost Charlie, the next day I stayed in bed all day. I have never done that in my life. So I needed that process. I needed that time. And I needed to be able to rely on friends to help me through.
All right. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. You're listening to The Body Show. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about what are some of the areas that we could improve on when we talk about the loss of pets and the bereavement process, and what are some things that people may want to consider doing now, should they have a pet, to make sure that they're prepared should there ever be a need for them to have to, unfortunately, go through this process. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, and today we're talking with a very well-seasoned nurse, Claire Santos, who has been on the show several times, and today we're talking about what happens when you lose a pet. Is it just like losing a loved one, and what is the process, and how can we improve that with society acknowledging it, but also getting the time you need to work through that? Now, right before the break, you mentioned that when you unfortunately lost your most recent dog, Charlie, that you actually stayed in bed like a whole day just to sort of not even recover, but just kind of deal with this loss. Now, a lot of times people think about, you know, what would they do for their pet? And they may think about what happens when they're gone. You had already made arrangements, should that have been the case, to have someone take care of Charlie. What were some of the things that you did, since you've had such a long history with having pets over the years, to help protect the pet from being in a situation where they didn't have someone to take care of them because you weren't around?
What I did, I learned to do this, is to have several neighbors who are friends, and they would walk Charlie or Coco, whichever. If I was out of town, or most recently with Charlie, I was having a surgery of my own, so I had to be sure if something happened to me, Charlie would be taken care of. So I used to cook his food, so I made enough food for like 6 weeks, and I made a folder with his veterinarian information, and the veterinarians had the names of my neighbors and my credit card numbers, recipes for all of his food, a written dialogue of all his habits and, you know, who takes care of him and how they would take care of him. So I had that all in place in case I didn't make it through surgery or something went wrong after surgery. Charlie kind of had an advance directive of how people should take care of him in my if I were gone.
Well, and it's another important element, truthfully, that sometimes we don't think about it. And I remember one time going to a vet's office and they had these little cards at the front desk and it said, put this in your wallet. My pet is home alone. So that if, you know, you happen to be in an accident and somebody recovers your belongings, they'll be like, oh, we have to double check on this. And then having your own arrangements to make sure that you have friends or neighbors or somebody who would be willing and or able to take care of that pet is very important.
And I still have that in my wallet right now, is an alert. Charlie is home alone. Please call these people. And I need to take that out at this point, but I keep overlooking it. I guess I'm not ready.
Well, and that's the other element that we mentioned, that bereavement and, you know, trying to start a job 2 weeks after losing your pet was probably not the best plan. And it didn't work out the way you had wanted it to. You've been through this process several times. I know it's a silly question, but have you gotten better at it? Do you have some tips for someone who hasn't been through this process or who is in the beginnings of this process? What have you learned over the loss of several pets? It sounds like such a negative question, but you've learned a lot.
I've learned a lot.
What could we share with other people so they might be able to improve their understanding of the process?
The first thing I will say is, if you're in an emergency situation, take another human with you to the emergency vet, because you are going to be so focused on your beloved animal that you may not be comprehending what's being said to you, and you'll be asked to make decisions that you may not understand. For example, they asked if I wanted Charlie to be resuscitated. I don't know what that means in veterinary medicine. What are the triggers? How is that managed? Then they want money up front. They wanted like $2,600 up front to take care of the dog. I wasn't expecting that. Bring another person with you to help you sort through that, to help you ask the questions, get the answers that help you make informed decisions. If you lose the pet, and I'm sorry for that, but we will all lose our pets probably. They don't live as long as we do. Let yourself grieve. It hurts. It's acutely painful. I have lost close family members to various types of death. The deep sorrow is one thing, but the loss of a pet is very, very acutely, sharply painful. Let yourself hurt and rely on your friends. I had a wonderful neighbor, RW, who was leaving food. She would drop her husband off at work in the morning and then go shopping and leave breakfast for me at my door. And the kindest thing she did for me one day was she had pictures of Charlie. Because, you know, dog moms, we share pictures of our babes. And she had them printed and framed and she left them at my door. And that was the beginning of my healing, that gift from her. So allow other people in. I wrote an obituary for Charlie and posted it in the two buildings of my condo so that everyone there knew, because Charlie and I walked every 3 hours. Everyone knew Charlie, and we were in a stroller walking through the community. So I posted an obituary. And that way, what that ended up doing was inviting the people to offer condolences. It made them part of the process, because I thanked them for being part of Charlie's life, for having him in our ohana at our buildings. So grieve as if it were a person. Write the obituary, make an announcement to people, let yourself grieve, accept condolences from people, and, you know, open your door and maybe breakfast will be there, and, you know, whatever helps you through it that's healthy for you.
Well, you brought up a very good point, which is acknowledging the loss, sharing it with your immediate community, particularly with condominiums here. You know, a lot of people will take the elevator and see a pet or see somebody walking around with their pet, and letting them know that, you know, it gives them the idea that maybe you don't get 50 questions every day of, where's your dog? Where's Charlie? And so giving them that information out front may help with the process as well. That also could in some ways make it easier for you, but encourage them to be part of that grieving process too. you know, you never know. Somebody else might have just lost a pet and not gone through that or not done that and recognized now it's acceptable for them to share their grief.
That's where the obituary really came in handy. You know, I'm really glad I did that. I'm really glad I invited my condo community. After Coco died a few years ago, everywhere we went, we had a 5-mile radius of where we would walk. Everyone knew Coco, and everywhere I went was, where's Coco, where's Coco, where's Coco? Oh, my goodness, I was just in tears all the time. So with Charlie, I decided to get ahead of that and write the obituary and make the announcement. We used to go to Long's Makiki every morning. Everyone knew him there. They had treats for him. So I went down there and told them what happened and received beautiful condolences from and tears from the staff. But one of them didn't know, and this morning I walked in and she said, where's Charlie? So I had to tell her the story. But at least it's not, you know, 10 people a day asking, where's Charlie? That just opens the wound over and over again.
So you mentioned earlier, give yourself time for the bereavement process. If you need some time to just take care of yourself, you should. You also mentioned that, you know, creating the obituary and sharing that and allowing people to give you condolences, another important aspect of going through the grieving process. Do you find that you want to clear out some of their belongings, or do you think keeping the belongings, or is that more of an individualized kind of response that people have different aspects of?
Well, all grieving is different for each living creature. For each living creature that you lose, the grief process can be different. The circumstances are different. For myself, it was a very private time. And what I did was make a photo album of Charlie, a 100-page photo album. And I have that to look back on favorite times. I made gifts to all the neighbors who were our close friends, the dog moms. So I had a whole lot of, say, poop bags and other things of Charlie's that I could divide up and give as thank you gifts to each neighbor whose dog, you know, was friends with Charlie. So I kind of, and you do that after a human funeral, right? You have the repast and the food and all that. So for my dog, you know, I gave the poop bags and some snacks and all that and thank you notes for being part of Charlie's life. Do whatever works for you. But I did, you know, give away a lot of his things, and I kept some things in what I call the future dog box. So when I'm ready for another dog, these will be things that passed on from all my other dogs. And I do keep a memory box with his little paw print in clay and his little do not pet, because Charlie didn't like anyone to suddenly come at him. So he had a leash that said do not pet. So special things that were just his are in his memory box, and Coco has a memory box, and that's what works for me. It's very soothing, and it helped me through the worst of it.
All right, I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. You're listening to The Body Show. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Claire Santos about some of the aspects of the bereavement process, and we're going to talk about some ways that this could be something that could help someone else who unfortunately might have to go through this same loss. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, and I'm here with Claire Santos. She is a nurse with many years of experience and unfortunately has lost several pets in the past. Even since I've known her, there have been a couple of dogs that I know you've unfortunately lost. And today we're talking about the bereavement process for pets. Some people feel as though pets are their main family member, and we certainly need to respect their thoughts and feelings about that intimate relationship, and the loss of that can be really abrupt and under certain circumstances extremely difficult to be able to move along with and to learn to live with. Now, as part of that, Claire, you mentioned that there were some things that really helped you in this bereavement process, writing an obituary and receiving condolences and sharing that experience with other people. There's also the concept of support groups. Do you know if they have such things here in the islands?
I know the Hawaiian Humane Society has a support group. There may be others on the island that you can Google or get a reference through the Hawaiian Humane Society, but they do have a grief support group because, you know, a lot of people, that's their only contact with life is to have that little pet in their house, and to lose them leaves them with feeling like they have nothing. So the support group really helps them come out, be social, be with people who are going through a similar experience.
And some people, I mean, they may even need to see a therapist for a while. I could imagine that there are probably some psychologists and therapists who specialize in grieving loss of pets.
Yes, I did see one or two online, and that is a specialty area because it is a special kind of loss to lose that intimate relationship, especially if it's been, you know, a lot of years.
Now, you mentioned that you have plans for a future dog when you're ready. And I know this is unfortunately not the first time that you've lost a pet. In your experience, when do you find that you are ready?
You know, with Coco, it was a year and a half. And it was one of the beat cops of HPD who would see us walking every day. If you think the police aren't noticing you, they are. And he would keep saying, when are you going to get another dog? When are you going to get... And it took a year and a half till I brought Charlie home. With the loss of Charlie, for some reason, I feel like I want to jump right in and have another dog. But I'm going to wait and go through my processes and get the house ready and get myself mentally, emotionally set to bring another dog in clean. So it's different. It's different for each situation. I'm just not going to rush. I didn't expect to lose Charlie. Like I said, I had everything set up for if I didn't come out of the hospital after surgery. He wasn't supposed to check out, you know? So that was an awful shock to have happen. With Coco, we knew she had cancer. I did think she beat it, but that wasn't the case. But Charlie was just a completely unexpected death, and I needed to go through that process, so I'm not going to run right out and get another pet until I'm sure that I'm ready.
And so you'll know you're ready emotionally when, what's your gauge for when you think, okay, this is time? Given how long it took from the death of your previous dog, Coco, what were your signals? You mentioned that there was a beat cop who kept asking you, when did you know it was okay?
You know, you wake up one day and you're in the house and realizing it's not so much that you miss that dog, because there's that acute sense of there's no life in my home anymore. That dog isn't puttering around. I don't hear the little paws on the floor. You wake up one day and say, I'd like to hear paws on the floor again. It's that shift in healing from hurting to your heart being open to having another pet. And you need to be fair to the new pet, that you need to be emotionally ready to accept that new pet. So you just, it's a feeling you have. It's an emotional situation.
And when you look back to other pets that you might have lost throughout your lifetime, is there a decreasing amount of time between acquiring another pet, or do you find that it's just so individualized it could take a long time you just can't predict?
It's individualized. It's entirely individualized. I'm, you know, in flux in other areas of my life, and I need to make sure I've got the time and, you know, emotional strength to take on another dog, because there is training involved and commitment, and a dog is lost for maybe a year until it really bonds with you. So you've got to be sure you're ready to commit to the new pet. So, you know, wait till you're ready. Don't let somebody else tell you it's time for a new dog.
Well, and, you know, we've talked about when you have one pet that you lose. I'm certain the situation may be different if you have a multi-pet household.
Some people, when they have an older dog, they'll get, or an older cat, they'll get a younger one to hang out with the older one. And when the older one passes, now they have that younger one. And they kind of keep a steady stream of pets going that way, and that works for them emotionally. In my little condo, I'm not going to have two dogs, no. So each one is a direct hit when they're lost. Yeah.
Well, and you brought up a good point. Sometimes the housing situation here in the islands does not allow for a multiple pet household, depending on the pet. So there may be some issues with that as well. So you may not, unfortunately, have the ability to bring in more than one pet if you're in a condominium, or if you're, you know, if you're a renter, or you don't have any kind of secure ability to make sure that you have space to take care of them.
Which reminds me to at least say once that they can be very expensive. Charlie's last 3 months of life was $3,500 in veterinary bills. You know, he had a few issues. You need to make sure you're also financially prepared to take on the new pet and check all the health issues that pet has and what it may, you know, entail. That's definitely part of it. Have the dog examined by a veterinarian first thing, and then insure the dog so you can at least break even on all the vet bills. You want everything to be ready for the new pet.
You brought up some good points. The financial preparation, make sure you're able to afford some of the needs that they may have, in addition to the living situation, in addition to your own personal emotional situation, and then pet insurance, which is something that I think a lot of folks don't even think about as much because it's just not top of mind. So making sure that you're able to achieve all of those things is one of those signs that, okay, maybe you're ready, in addition to knowing if this is the right timing for you.
Absolutely. Make sure you get everything in order. Some people fly by the seat of their pants, and that's their right. For me, I want to be certain I can handle whatever comes with the pet. Charlie, I couldn't insure because he was an older dog. They estimated him to be 10 years old when I got him, and I specifically adopted an older dog because no one wants them. So he had degenerative spine. He had health issues that I knew were going to be costly, but I knew I was going to do everything in my power to make him comfortable. You know, he had a little vibrating massager and a little heating pad and cooling gel mats to lay on and his stroller so we could walk all over town and he didn't have to be walking the whole couple of miles. So I made sure I did my best to give him his best life. And when you do that, when the dog passes, you can feel kind of okay that you did the best you could. And he seemed to really enjoy me giving my best effort of cooking all his food and his snacks and cruising him around town in his stroller and taking him to stores. And everyone knew Charlie. So, have comfort that you did your best.
Well, and that's one of the most important things, is to know that you gave him a great home for the time in which you did. And unfortunately, with the loss, to find ways that grieving the loss of a pet can be more accepted in society and people given the flexibility and time that they need to go through that process. I want to thank you for sharing your expertise and your unfortunate loss with us here today on The Body Show. If you'd like to hear the show again or see a picture of Charlie, we will have one on our website at the HPR app. Our engineer is David Chong. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. And we'll be right here next week, as we are every Monday, on The Body Show. We'll see you then.